This morning, I want to tell you the story about America. It took place during World War II. In order to set the stage, I'll remind you that during World War II, the Nazis did their absolute level best to wipe out every Jew in Europe. Wherever Hitler's victorious armies went, Jews by the million were systematically hunted down. And when they were caught, they were shipped off to huge factory-like extermination camps in the eastern part of Germany and occupied Poland. Now, you will remember that in the Blitzkrieg of 1940, May 10, 1940, France fell to the onslaught of the invading Panzers. And as part of the occupation of France, and part of the humiliation of France, the Vichy pro-Axis puppet government, the aged Marshal Philippe Pétain, cooperated with the Nazis. They cooperated with the Nazis in every way, including rounding up all the Jews in France. The story I'm going to tell you comes out of that time, in the early 1940s, in occupied France. It's the story of a young French widow who lived with her two small children in Paris. This lady was a Jew. When the Nazis invaded her country, this Jewish lady quite rightly feared for the safety of her children. She knew that if she did not take immediate action and do something, they, and she herself, would probably end up being shipped off to die in a Nazi extermination camp. And so, right after the fall of France, this woman fled Paris. She fled her city, taking her children with her, and making her way as carefully as she could, she journeyed to a little French town that was located near the Swiss border. She had heard that there were people in this town who were members of the French resistance. The resistance was a French underground organization, or confederacy of organizations, that continued the fight against the Nazis. The resistance resisted in every way that they could possibly do. And this woman had heard that the French resistance might help her to escape from France. She had heard that they would enable her to flee with her children across the border into the safety of neutral Switzerland. An island of liberty in the heart of Nazi Europe. And so, taking her children with her, this woman left Paris and journeyed to the little French border town that she had heard of. But when she arrived in town, she didn't know how to get in touch with the resistance. She was a complete stranger to the place. She had no contacts there, no one at all to turn to. She was afraid to approach anybody for fear that they might betray her to the fascist Vichy authorities. poor woman didn't know what to do. But this Jewish woman was deeply religious. And so she prayed to God, the God of her ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She prayed to her God for help. She prayed that God would lead her to someone who could help her. And all day she prayed. And as she prayed, she walked. And she prayed, she walked the streets of border town with her two children, anxiously looking for some sign of help, with no success. Finally, in the early evening, she returned to her little hotel room, tired and disturbed. But when her children were asleep in bed, there came a knock on the door. Fearfully, afraid that she had been discovered, she opened the door of prayer. She saw a young man standing. And very quietly he said, "If you are interested in taking a hike into the mountains, be at the cemetery on the far side of town at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. If you are interested in taking a hike in the mountains." Then he was gone. What? There is a way out. My prayers have been answered. So all the next day she waited, resting as much as she could, trying to keep her children amused in the confined space of that tiny hotel room. And then, at dusk, she ventured outside and took her children for a stroll in the park. Then, as the darkness deepened, she made her way to the cemetery. And there, in the cemetery, she met several other Jewish refugees who had gathered there, along with the man who was going to be their guide through the mountains. At 10 o'clock, the hiking party set off. The woman carried her youngest child, leading the other one by the hand. The path was rocky. The grade was not too steep at first. After an hour, the moon rose, and in the moonlight, she could make out that there were 21 people in the party, plus their guide. There were 13 women, 4 children, including her own two, and 4 elderly men. At one point, their guide allowed them to stop and have a brief rest. But soon they had to get up and push on. And now the path was rising much more steeply, and the way was getting harder. And after a while, one of the elderly men walking ahead of her stopped and he sank to the ground exhausted. The guy came back to see what the trouble was. The old man said to him, "I'm sorry, but I can't go on any further. I'm too old for this. The rest of you go on without me. Just leave me here on the trail to die." The guy was a very wise man. He replied, "I understand, sir. The way is very hard. Do as you wish. But could I ask you just one thing? If you have any strength at all remaining, would you use it to carry one of the children for as long and as far as you can? The old man agreed. For the sake of a child, so that a child could have a chance to live, the old man agreed that he would try to keep going just a little while longer. With great difficulty, the old man got up and he took the smallest child in the group and put that child on his shoulders. And then the party moved on. Soon, another older man's strength gave up. Too tired to go on, he too wanted to be left behind on the trail to die. Again, the guide persuaded him to put his last remaining strength to carry one of the children for as long and as far as he could. And this happened a third time. And a fourth time. And the weary party continued to struggle on through the night with each of the older men carrying the child on his shoulders. Finally, as dawn was breaking, they reached the summit. And they began their trek downward. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, they arrived in the safety of a tiny Swiss border village. Their guide, with considerable satisfaction, was still able to count 21 people in his party. Not a single person, not a single child, or woman, or old man had been left behind. They had all made it every single month. Had managed to summons from somewhere the strength to save the lives of the children that they were carrying. Miraculous! By trying to save the life of a small child on his shoulder, each elderly man had managed to save his own life also. This is a true story. It really happened. It happened several times. And no story could better illustrate the words of Jesus that we read in our New Testament reading. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Each of the older men had denied himself. Each of the older men had denied himself to give the child he was struggling to carry the chance to live. And in the giving of himself to another, each man had managed also to save himself. Out of an act of self-giving came a miracle of deliverance. There's a lesson for us in this story. So often we go through life, we think only of ourselves, we think only of our own comforts, we think only of satisfying our own. own life's ambition. And that's to be expected. We humans are incredibly self-centered creatures. Now, there are some people who think that's okay. They really do. In fact, there are some people who actually think that selfishness is a good thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of an American philosopher called Ayn Rand. Her philosophy was styled objectivism. The symbol of her philosophy, no kidding, this is true, was a dollar sign. This is true. She had made her living as a screenwriter in Hollywood. She wrote several novels, which were really not novels, they were statements of her philosophy, her idealization of selfishness. And I've met a lot of people in my life who were followers of my brand. You can tell them they put little dollar signs in their lapels. When I ran at her funeral, she had a great big floral dollar sign. This is true. She probably passed away 20 years ago. So there are people who think that selfishness is a good thing. They say that selfishness is what makes capitalism work. And that capitalism, in turn, has made possible our material prosperity. Now, there's some truth in that. There's some truth in that, no doubt about it. And it is undergirded by science. Science tells us that there is a selfish gene with which most humans come equipped. They tell us that we're born that, that we are genetically programmed to be selfish so that we will survive in the struggle for life, the Darwinian struggle for existence. Okay, I acknowledge that. But no matter how natural our tendency to be selfish may be, that there can be no doubt, there can be no doubt at all that selfishness brings with it something else, and that something else is not so nice. A life of total selfishness is guaranteed to bring us nothing but misery and unhappiness. Because not only does selfishness bring misery and unhappiness, a life of selfishness also eventually brings about the death of the human spirit. Spirit, we can choke to death. We can choke to death on our own selfishness. And that's what Jesus means when he says, he who saves his life will lose it. But Jesus also says, he who loses his life will save it. And what he means by that is, it is in the giving of ourselves, it is in the spending of ourselves for others, that we will find life. And it's true. It is in the giving of ourselves that we will find life. It is the giving of ourselves to others. It is the giving of ourselves to make this world a better place in which to live. It is in that self-giving that we will find life. Some years ago, the University of Michigan conducted a decade-long research program. They did this in a medium-sized Michigan town in Kalamazoo. They followed these people for 10 years. And during the 10 years that the study was conducted, an amazing thing was discovered. They discovered that all things being equal, get a load of this, the men who did no volunteer work at all were 2.5 times more likely to get sick and die than the men who regularly volunteered their services to some charitable or religious cause. I'll repeat. It was discovered that the men who did no volunteer work at all were 2.5 times more likely to get sick and die than the men who regularly volunteered their service to charity or to the church. And thus we know that the saying of Jesus is not true just in the broad sense. We know that it is literally true. He who loses his life will save it. We can call this paradoxical saving of our Lord the merit of self-giving. In the name of the Father, Son.